I want you for just a minute to think of the goodness of God. Think of how he saved you, how he loves you, how he provides for you. Think about every little thing, every little detail in your life. And then when God asks you to do something, why we ho-hum about it?
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Last time on In Christ, we saw the journey home to Jerusalem completed with trust, accountability, and worship. Today we continue in the Building Foundation series and arrive to chapter 9 of Ezra, as we go through verses 1 through 15 with the message titled, The Condition Requires Confession. After arriving in Jerusalem, Ezra learns that many of the people, including leaders, have drifted into disobedience and compromise. Instead of ignoring it or managing appearances, Ezra is deeply grieved. He tears his garment, humbles himself, and begins to pray. Ezra doesn't minimize the problem. He names it honestly before God. He remembers God's mercy, acknowledges the people's sin, and recognizes that healing can't begin until truth is faced. What we try to hide cannot be healed. When the condition of the heart is serious, confession becomes the doorway to restoration. As we go through today's lesson, today's question is tough. Is there anything in your life you've been excusing, avoiding, or covering up that God is inviting you to bring honestly before Him today? If you can, grab your Bibles and join me in Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 15, in today's title, The Condition Requires Confession. Now here's Pastor Ben.
Ezra chapter 9. We're just going to keep on trucking along, and so glad you're here. I want to remind you, if we were to tweet the book of Ezra, we could say that God's people went home to build the temple foundation, but God built in them his foundation. And that's really all about it. That's why you can see in the back of the screen that the title of the sermon series is Foundations, and God is going to do just an amazing, amazing work. Guys, Ezra 9:9, we'll cover that today, but it says, For we are slaves, yet your God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, to repair our house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And that's the key verse, and we'll tackle that tonight. But we do have a lot going on in chapter 9, and it's one of those chapters that make us go, because there is a strict prohibition here, but there's a reason why. You know, there's some great principles here. So give me a good amen if you're in Ezra, ready to go.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. Church, a fella by the name of Andrew Peterson wrote a novel. Andrew Peterson wrote a novel with this title. He wrote it, and it says, the title is this, On the Edge of the Dark Sea of Darkness. That's the title. On the Edge of the Dark Sea of Darkness, which I think is the best introduction for tonight's study. Now, I took this from another commentary, so I can't take credit for this particular story. But listen, as we go through this portion, I want you to the portion of the novel simply as an introduction to Ezra 9. Just labor with me for just a second. Because in his novel, Peterson writes, well, on the novel On the Edge of Darkness, of the Dark Sea of Darkness, he says, are what he calls nasty fangs of Dang. Okay. He writes that Dang is an awful place, seems accursed, and Peterson seems to be using it as a euphemism for the place that's under judgment. The fangs, if you will, from this place called Dang are described as follows. Listen, the fangs walk around like humans. And in fact, they looked exactly like humans, except for the greenish scales that covered their bodies, and the lizard-like snout, and the two long venomous fangs that jutted downward from their snarling mouths. Also, they had tails. The fangs stink, literally. They eat molding, decaying food. They make everything around them filthy. They are murderous and hateful. In the night, they steal children from their parents and make them slaves or worse. The fangs of Dang are awful killers. And in the story Peterson is telling, the fangs are out to capture the children who somehow survived the destruction of the Shining Isle of Aneria. As they seek to escape the awful fangs, these children are constantly calling on the Maker for help, relying on him. The fangs show no regard for this Maker. As we come to Ezra chapter 9 and chapter 10, we discover that the Israelites are wanting to marry the Canaanites. And by doing so, it would be like the children from the Shining Isle marrying a fang from Dang. Unless that fang is converted and transformed into a new creature. Think about this. The only way one of the children would be able to cuddle up to a fang and marry it, this child would have to forget everything that is good, that is true, that is beautiful, and grow accustomed to filth, stench, and the cruelty of the fangs. Because the children love what is good, true, pure, and beautiful, the very thought of marrying a fang is revolting, not to mention impossible. Now, remember what we've covered so far. The story that Peterson writes serves as an illustration, an introduction to what's going to be happening here in the book of Ezra. But we have to go back and we have to bring this all into the forefront, because the book of Ezra in itself, it's an Old Testament book with an amazing story of rebuilding the city of Jerusalem and the temple of the living God. In the first six chapters, remember, we discover that the Jewish people went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. If you recall, the temple was destroyed when Jerusalem was invaded by Nebuchadnezzar. But the one thing that you need to remember, is that the temple was that connection for the people with God. It wasn't just it's a building that we attended. It was their connection. And so again, Nebuchadnezzar comes in, he wipes everything out. You remember, he takes them captive for 70 years. And then we find under the decree of Cyrus, many return to rebuild the temple foundation. And we're going to see in Nehemiah to repair the walls. Now, catch this. The one thing we understand in this whole book is that the temple wasn't the only thing that needed attention. Many of the returning Hebrews had a hard heart, and they had forgotten God's law, and to make matters worse, they were disregarding them in front of the people. So God, in his loving grace and mercy, was about to do a work in the hearts of the people. Now, before we get to the temple, we need to remember that that's the same thing that God does for us today. You might think that life is just life and we go through the motions and we do this and we do that, but God is more interested in doing the same thing, to do a work in our heart. He wants to build a foundation in our spiritual walks. He wants us to be victorious Christians. He doesn't like it when we are this roller coaster. One minute we're up and the next minute we're down, and then we're up and we're down. And that's how your walk is. It's like, man, my walk feels like a roller coaster. One minute I'm like, praise Jesus. And the next minute I'm screaming, as I go down to the valley. What God wants is he wants our walks to just be that slow, beautiful walk with God. Now, we're not going to get there. We're not going to graduate until we go to heaven. Amen? We get that, okay? So progressive sanctification is a walk. It is a journey that you and I are going to take. But you need to know that God is interested in the development of our hearts. Okay? He wants to get in there and he wants to take that chisel and he wants to knock out those things that are not pleasing to him. We all came up and we all have a lot of stuff that we allowed in our hearts and we hide it really deep and nobody knows. God knows. And when you said yes to him, he takes out the chisel and he goes, okay. But he does it so lovingly. Ching, ching, ching. Oh, ow, oh, oof. Okay. But it's so good and he's interested in, this is what he wants to do with his people. He's going to use the temple as a illustration, if you will, a physical illustration of what he wants to do in their hearts. And a lot of times in life, the things we go through, sometimes as a physical illustration of what God wants to do in our hearts. Wouldn't you agree? And it's the same way. And so here we go. The temple in Ezra 9 is finally finished. And so you can imagine how their hearts are rejoicing. Why? Because again, guys, remember, this was the connection they had with God. They hadn't had it for 70 years. They were in Babylon. They were in a foreign land. You and I long for that connection, but because we live in this world, we don't have the full connection with God that we're going to have when we get to heaven. We don't have it. But one day, we're going to shed this body, and it's going to be glorious, and it's going to be amazing. And so for them, guys, the temple is finished. It took 20 years after the foundation was laid. And just over 4 years after the rebuilding began under the ministries of Haggai and Zechariah. Now, again, just to remind you, there is about a 60-year gap between chapter 6 and chapter 7. You can insert the book of Esther during this time. You go, okay, so Esther happened during this time. 60 years go by, and Pastor Ezra comes on the scene. His job, it's to build the foundations in the hearts of the people, much like Calvary Chapel wants to do that with you. The people, the pastors behind this pulpit, our goal should be to build the foundation in your hearts. How? By the simple teaching of the Word of God. The Word of God. You know, when we look around, we could probably draw a crowd, but it can't be through the teaching of the Word of God. We can draw a crowd with psychology. We can draw a crowd with all kinds of other stuff, and we can do all kinds of things to bring people in. But what Pastor Chuck taught us is that which you strive to gain, you have to strive to maintain. And so if we bring in people with bread and circuses, then that's how we have to do our church. But if we bring people in with the teaching of the Word of God, the Word of God. Listen, at the end of the day, church, this is what you want to be standing on anyway, the Word of God. This is what God's Word says. From Genesis to Revelation, this is what we believe. So Pastor Ezra has that same heart. He has a heart for the people, and he says, I need to build that foundation in their hearts. Guess what? Pastor Ezra gets a call from God. Hey, Ezra, yes, sir? I want you to go back to Jerusalem. What? Lord, I'm here. That's 900 miles. You want me to go? I want you to go. And of course, his heart is to say yes. His heart is to say yes to the Lord. Now, I want you for just a minute to think of the goodness of God. Think of everything that God has done for you. Think of how he saved you, right? How he loves you, how he provides for you. Think about every little thing, every little detail in your life. And then when God asks you to do something, why we ho-hum about it? Oh, Lord, no. I want you to do me. I want you to do me a solid, the Lord says. I want you to pay for those groceries. I want you to minister to that person. I want you to do this. Lord, man, you don't understand. I'm busy and I've got stuff. No. Our hearts should be like Pastor Ezra. We should say, yes, Lord. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What's the goal? To lead people to Jesus, to build that foundation. Well, Ezra's going to make the 900 mile. Think about this, guys. 900 miles. He's going home. He's going to Jerusalem. It's been about 150 years since Nebuchadnezzar came and took everyone captive. About 150 years. So a lot of time has passed. But one thing we learned in chapter 8, if you recall, we learned all about the journey back to Jerusalem. And the way we applied their journey, it was a physical journey from Babylon, 900 miles to Jerusalem. We paralleled that to our life, the journey from the time we were born to the time we're going to die. It's that little dash we talked about. And if you recall, in that dash, we all going to have a dash. If the Lord Jesus doesn't come back soon, we're all going to have a dash. And I think our hearts should be, I want my dash to count. I want my dash to be filled with ministry and love and peace. I don't want the guilt and the condemnation in my dash. I just want my, and this is what Ezra is talking about. And what we realized with Ezra that we paralleled with our lives, if you recall, number one is the journey for Ezra was filled with the unknown. And it's the same thing for us. Life is filled with unknowns. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We know the sun's going to come up, but we don't know everything else that's going to happen. But where do you find your peace? How are you able to sleep? I'll tell you how, because you know that Jesus is already in your tomorrow. Amen? He's already there. That's how you sleep. You go, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, but you're there. Ezra, like us, had to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And that seems to be the hardest thing for believers at times, fully trusting God. We might trust him a little bit. Okay, Lord, but Ezra says, okay, I'm going back. I need to trust you, Lord. Church, listen, we talked about the dash. We talked about the dash. At the end of the dash is the date that we're going to say that you passed. You really didn't pass. You just graduated. Okay? We'll say, well, this is the date. You know, this is, it'll be on your tombstone. This is the day he was born. This is the day that he ceased from being on this earth. But here's what I want you to know. Before you hit that date, there's only one thing you need to trust, and you need to trust in the Lord. What else are we going to trust in? Well, I hope I was a good person. The way I used to think back before I got saved is I hope my good outweighed my bad. I hope that, you know, I didn't lie or steal or cheat or any, all of that stuff. You know, you sort of put out the bit. But really, when we come to that very end, when we're about to take our final breath, you know what? You know what my prayer is going to be? Lord, I trust you. I trust your word. Your word says whoever believes in him will be saved. Whoever confesses him. Just, Lord, I trust you. I trust that you died on the cross for me. I trust you. We also saw in Ezra, guys, that the journey was filled with prayer, right? Ezra had to pray. And I think what a privilege it is for us to pray and talk to God. What a way to worship him, to come before him and offer prayer and to seek him and to really talk to him. Sometimes I feel like we take that for granted. Oh, yeah, let's pray. And we're talking to God. And then I also feel like, and this is not a condemnation to any of us here, but I also feel like sometimes we pray for the benefit of people. In other words, we want people to think that we know how to pray. And I think we should just let down our hair and talk to God. Let's talk to God. Lord, I'm a mess. Oh, don't say that in prayer. What do you think the people will think? The people will think, wow, he's a mess. But we're a mess. Lord, I messed up. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord. You see, because for Ezra, the third point is the journey was a journey of humility, right? And how often we must check our hearts for pride. For pride. We need to walk in humility. Church, listen, our goal is to love and serve people. And the only way we do that is through walking in humility, that God would choose to use us in any way, shape, or form is beyond me. He is a great, wonderful God, and he's so amazing, and he uses us in every aspect. And last but not least, guys, we see it's a journey of answered prayer. As God answers the prayer and he answers our prayer, and I put here in my notes how important it is for us to have a prayer journal. It's a prayer journal filled with answered prayer. So you go back and you go, God is faithful. God is faithful. Because we don't remember very much, do we? We forget a lot. And we remember big stuff. But guys, there are times when Soph and Yvonne and myself or whoever will reminisce the last 21 years and they'll remind me of some of the things that God did that I've forgotten, how faithful he is. Wow. You see, it's a journey walking with God and going home. If you're going to have a dash, that dash should be walking with God, getting to know him, personal, intimate, wonderful way, serving him, submitted to God. That should be our goal. It's not easy. I'm not saying, okay, come on, go do it. 1, 2, 3, break. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, man, this is going to be something that I need to set my heart to do and say, Lord, this is what I want to do. Now, here's my prayer. My prayer is that we don't have an end date. We don't have an expiration date, that we hear the trumpet sound and we have a beginning date. We have a dash, but that dash goes upward like this. It just goes up. Why? Well, he doesn't. Or how about this? If it's the rapture, Eva, then we'll all have the same date. How about that? Every one of us be like, well, they were here and they're not here. So I guess we'll just put this date. And we'll all, it'd be like a million people. Anyway, that's never mind. So in Ezra chapter 8, 32, guess what? Let's look at it real quick. It says, so when they came to Jerusalem, they made it back. They stayed there. How many? 3 days. 3 days. Now, here's what you need to know. They ended a four-month journey from Babylon to Jerusalem. 4 months on the road with this caravan. And together with the entire trip, there's Ezra. They're back in the promised land, and they're in the land promised to their ancestors. And they took a moment. And last week we said this, and I hope you applied it. Last week we said, as they came in from a four-month journey, they rested 3 days. They rested. And how rest is important for us. Let me just say this real quick and then I'll move on. Okay, we'll move on to chapter 9. Usually, the enemy will attack when you're physically exhausted. And sometimes for us, it's a Thursday night, it's Friday, you're tired, it's been a long week. That is when the enemy will attack. Now, I don't have any statistics, but I bet most fights in couples happen about for Thursday or Friday. we're just tired. And the enemy comes in and we have to be careful. Here's the point. We need to rest. We need to rest. Your Wednesday night here, guys, should be rest. Okay, we're here. We're worshiping. We're getting fed. It shouldn't be a chore. Oh, we have to go to church. I have to. It's rest. It's rest. They rested. We're rested. Now let's see what happens. As we come to chapter 9, I'm calling this message. You ready? The condition requires confession, repentance. The condition requires confession, repentance. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio. And I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry. And by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.